Hey, what's up, family? In today's video, we're going to be talking about four ways not knowing your purpose impacts your life as well as your relationships. And make sure you stay to the very end because I have a free worksheet for you that's going to really help you better get to know your purpose so that you can enhance all of your relationships, including with God, yourself, and those significant people in your life. So let's get right into it. And for those who's joining me later, thank you so much for watching. For those who's joining me live, go ahead and get your questions ready. We'll have some time for a live Q&A. Before we get into those four ways of how not knowing your purpose affects your life as well as your relationships, let's first define what purpose is, as well as read a couple of scriptures to lay the foundation so that we can better understand what it means to be a person of purpose. Purpose, by definition, is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. Purpose, by definition, is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. So God has an original reason, an original intent for why he created you. Listen, the most important thing we must establish is, number one, a personal relationship with God. Number two, the second most important thing is to know our purpose. A lot of people are in relationships, are pursuing careers, are starting things with no clue of their authentic purpose. And when an individual doesn't know why they're here, then my friend, they won't be able to succeed. So the reason, purpose again, is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. God has created you for such a time as this to do a significant thing. And when we do not understand and know what our purpose is, it impacts our relationships. It impacts everything that we do in our lives. I also wrote here, knowing your purpose leads to knowing your purpose pieces. Knowing your purpose leads to knowing your purpose piece. Now, what does that mean? When you and I know our purpose, there's a certain level of seriousness. There's a certain level of significance. There's a certain level of pickiness that occurs because you know for a fact the value of purpose. You know that it's appointed for every one of us to die and after that, the judgment. You know that death is a motivator and being judged by God is a motivator. So you don't have time to waste. You don't have energy to waste. You don't have resources to waste. So when you know your purpose, you are a little bit more and a whole lot more actually selective. That's why it's important for us to be detectives so that we can be selective, detecting what our purpose is so that we'll be able to accurately select purpose pieces that matches the purpose that God has placed in us and that we have come to peace with, right? So knowing your purpose leads to knowing purpose pieces. So when you know your purpose, you will know your people. You will know your path. You will begin to know what is for you. Now let's read a couple of scriptures and then get into some points here. Proverbs 19:21 is very key. It says, many are the plans in the man, in the mind of a man or in a man's heart, but it is the purposes of the Lord that prevails. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that prevails. That is essential, my friends, because when we understand that in our default nature, we tend to make plans without asking God, without seeking God, and I've been guilty of this. I've made many plans in my life and those things did not succeed because that wasn't God's purpose. See, God is not responsible or required to invest in your plans. God is only going to invest in his purposes for you. When you understand that, then you will begin to be very slow, sensitive, discerning, because you know for a fact that you can cry all night, beg all day, and God is not going to invest in a way that's opposite of his. So what are your plans? Are your plans God's plans? Are your plans, were your plans developed through prayer? One thing that I've learned in my life was I have to pray to find his plans because us entrepreneurs, us go-getters, us high performers, man, we can create things like that. We can develop plans like that. But the reason why it's important for us to know that only the purpose of God prevails, then it makes sure that we're close to him, that we're at God's pace. So what are your plans? Marital plans, relational plans, entrepreneurial plans. And how many of us, or how many of you are going, us actually, are sweating unnecessarily because God's grace, God's endorsement, God's flow is not in there. But my friends, the good thing about that is when you are in the purpose of God, it prevails. And even though you find God's purpose, I'm not sitting there saying that there's not going to be twists and turns and hills and valleys, but it will prevail. There will be a grace that just gets you through those challenges. There will be a gentle push, a for sure endorsement as you navigate through. The second verse is Proverbs 25. It says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Very profound verse. The purpose in a person's heart is like deep water. My friend, your purpose is deep in you. You already know your purpose. You're just not aware of it. You sense it, but you don't really have yet to make sense of it. And so when you begin to understand that your purpose is like deep waters, it is your responsibility to become a man or woman of understanding to draw that purpose out. Who is still thirsty because you haven't drawn out that deep water? See, you and I are a well. And when we were made well by the Holy Spirit, he began to become a wellspring. And the deeper that we go in the Holy Spirit, the deeper that we go in God, and the deeper that we begin to understand who we are, whose we are, and what we're supposed to do, then we'll begin to draw that purpose out. Because my friend, when God began to get me into writing, he drew. Because he led me into understanding that I was an author, and he led me into understanding that I was supposed to speak, I didn't know all these books were in me, but as a man of understanding that grew in my relationship with God, I began to draw those books out. I began to draw these videos out. Every video I've ever done, every video I'm going to do, every book I've written, every book I'm going to write, every card game I've done, every card game that I'm about to do, every coaching program I've started, every coaching program that I'm going to start is already in me. But as a man of understanding, I have to draw it out. So what is in you? What is deep inside of you that you have allowed the enemy to cut the cord on your rope to draw that water out? Because when you begin to draw that purpose out of you, and you begin to draw the essence of you, your reason for being here, then my friend, not only will you be able to drink from it, then other people will be able to drink from it. And then your wife won't go thirsty. Your children won't go thirsty. Your husband won't go thirsty. The people that you were called to reach won't go thirsty because you drew that water out. So what book are you supposed to draw out? What business are you supposed to draw out? What talents, gifts, traits, ideas that God is saying, hey, become a man of understanding. Become a woman of understanding and draw that purpose out. Now, we're finally here. Four things or four ways not knowing your purpose affects your life and your relationship. There are four things, and I spelled the word no. After that, we're going to talk about how knowing our purpose enhances our relationships. And then we're going to talk about how you can know your purpose today. Let's get right into it. How or four ways not knowing our purpose affects our lives and our relationships. Please understand, my friends, that you functioning in your purpose causes your relationships to flow, your relationship with God to flow, your relationship with yourself to flow, your relationship with your spouse to flow, your relationship with your children to flow, your relationship with anyone else that God has called you to relate to flow. But when there is no, there's no flow. When there's no K-N-O-W, there's no F-L-O-W. And so that's why it's important for us to know what are those barriers keeping us from success. Now, number one, N, you're not it. You're not it. Without a clear purpose, one can feel tied up or restricted in life due to a lack of clarity, as well as become entangled with the wrong things. One of the consequences or one of the ways not knowing our purpose impacts our lives and others, we become knotted to the wrong things. It says, without a clear purpose, one can feel tied up or restricted. That is social emotional. A lot of us, because we don't know, we're knotted on the inside, full of confusion on the inside, tied. We're tied to what mama said. And all of a sudden now you're tied to the wrong career because you want to please your parents, or you're tied to the wrong way because you want to please your peers. You become knotted. You become entangled. How many individuals, because they didn't know their purpose, became so tied and knotted to an individual that is below their frequency? How many people have interacted and engaged with different people groups in different situations and became so soul tied, knotted, there's knots in their thought realm, knots in their memories, knots in their perspectives, knots in their knowledge bank, knots in their emotions, and they can't unravel, and they're restricted and they feel tied? That's what happens, because I promise you, every person who knew, who began to know God and know themselves and know their purpose, when you know those three things, you begin to avoid the unnecessary things, keeping you connected but not knotted. Do you know, you ever seen a bad knot and how much time it takes to unknot? Do you know how many people, they got tied to a person, then that tie became knotted, and then the untying of the knot takes up more time than how the knot formed? We've all had iPhone headphones, or the little headphones with the cords, and you just put it in your pocket, and you pull out your pocket like, man, how did y'all get knotted? How did it get stuck like this? And then it seemed like knots form quicker than it is to unravel the knots. And so that's why knowing your purpose is important, because when you know God, you will be connected, but you won't be knotted. It also says, as well as become entangled with the wrong things. How many people are knotted to the wrong career, tied to the wrong individual, tied to the wrong relationship, tied to the wrong friend group? Now, here's how it impacts your relationships. Feeling tied up or restricted due to a lack of clarity can strain relationships. When we're uncertain about our purpose, we may unintentionally drag our loved ones into our confusion, leading to misunderstandings and conflicts. Moreover, becoming entangled with the wrong priorities can distance us from those who matter most. So when you are unaware of your purpose, you don't know it, and you become knotted to the wrong things, you then begin to not only strain your relationships, but you begin to drag them into your confusion. How many of us were in relationships or in friendships, and we inadvertently was drugged or dragged into another person's confusion? That's why we have to be very clear. Because clarity attracts clarity. You got to make sure that you're linked up with someone that's clear about why they're here. You have to be clear about why you're here. Because when you're not clear, you start dragging people into your instability, your confusion. See, no woman wants to follow a man who's not clear. No man wants to lead a woman who's not clear. Because if you begin to connect with someone who's not clear, then all of a sudden y'all are dragging each other in each other's confusion. Now you start in this business. Now you're part of this program, and you're part of that thing. And all of a sudden now your relationships is going around a mountain. And now all of a sudden your relationship is sailing around the same island and not going towards its destination. No child should be brought up in a home with a confused, unclear parent. So feeling tied or restricted due to a lack of clarity can strain relationships. When we're uncertain about our purpose, we may unintentionally, we're not saying that you intentionally will all the time, but sometimes we'll unintentionally drag our loved ones into our confusion, leading to misunderstanding and conflicts. Now the person, the wife that's being led by you, is confused. She's unsure. Now there's conflict, and vice versa. It says, moreover, being entangled with the wrong priorities can distance us from those who matter most. See, God doesn't mind us being connected, but he doesn't want us to be tied. We should be able to be attached but detached. And when it comes to priorities, a lot of people are so knotted to their business, so knotted to their career, that they've placed that career, placed that business, placed that hope, placed that dream above their wife, above their husband, above their children, above God. And now all of a sudden, now that it creates a gulf, it creates a distance between you and those who matter most. So not it. Number two, in neglect. A lack of purpose can result in neglecting personal growth and meaningful opportunities, hindering potential development. When we are unaware of our purpose, we begin to neglect. Some of us, our neglect stems from unworthiness. Some of us, our neglect stems from just distractions. So when we lack purpose, we don't project, we end up neglect. And all of a sudden, now we don't know what to personally grow. See, when you don't know your purpose, you don't know what to grow. You don't know what skills to develop. You don't know what areas need improvement. You don't know what character traits need to be invested in more. See, when we don't know, we end up neglecting the very things that needs nurturing, and start investing in things that don't need our attention. Now, let's talk about how neglect impacts our lives and relationships. Neglecting personal growth and opportunities affects not just our own well-being, but also our relationships. When we're not growing or evolving, our relationships can stagnate. This can lead to feelings of dissatisfaction and disconnection with our partner, family, and friends. So when we are unaware of our purpose, we get lazy, we get stagnant, and all of a sudden we're not growing, we're not inspired to grow, we're just eating chips on couches, we're just wasting our well-being. There's nothing internally and eternally motivating us, causing us to be stagnant, causing us just to go through the motions of life, the ebbs and, not the ebbs and flows, but going with the currents of culture. When we're not growing or evolving, our relationships can stagnate. My wife needs for me to grow. I need for her to grow if we want this marriage to grow. Our daughter needs for us to grow and evolve. One thing about relationships, they don't stay the same. They require growth. They require development. And the more you grow and the more you develop, the more you evolve in your values and your gifts and your talents and your awareness and your understanding and your love for God, the more you grow in those different things, then you begin to water things in your life, people in your life, and then everyone grows. That's what happened. When we neglect, so this can lead to feelings of dissatisfaction and disconnection with those whom we love. Oh, we said in, okay, not it, in neglect, oh, overwhelm. Once again, we're talking about four ways not knowing our purpose affects our lives and our relationships. So number one, not it. Number two, neglect. Number three, overwhelm. Without a guiding purpose, people can easily become overwhelmed by the multitude of choices and decisions they face. God wants us to be specific, selective, strategic. He doesn't want us to be overwhelmed. Like in purpose pursuit, you're gonna have more no's than yes. Or we should say no more than we should say yes. The more specific, the more strategic, the more dialed in we are, the easier it is to say no. So when you have clarity about your purpose, you know, I'm going to say no to this class. I'm going to say no to this program. I'm going to say no to this person. I'm going to say no to this situation. I'm going to say no to this because this don't flow with this. If it don't flow with this, I don't need to know this. I don't need to know this. I don't have to notice it. I don't have to get to know it because it don't flow with what I have. We become overwhelmed. Now, let's see how this impacts our lives and our relationships. Overwhelmed from the absence of a guiding purpose. Purpose guides. Overwhelmed from the absence of guiding purpose can spill over into our relationships. Constant indecision and feeling swamped by choices can make us irritable, less present, and less able to engage meaningfully with others, weakening our bonds. How many of us are overwhelmed right now because so many options, so many choices, so many ways to get it. And all of a sudden now it spills over, causing us to be irritable because when you try to do many things at one time, do you know you can do multiple things with God and it be effortless, even though it has a little weight to it, but it won't be caused overwhelm because then your purpose will have you protect yourself. So when you know your purpose, you begin to value you. You begin to value your time. You begin to value your mind. Then you begin to properly prioritizing things in their proper order. And then you'll begin to invest and communicate and ensure that everyone understands where your focus is. And then you always come back around to make sure each area of your life is fully nourished. Then you'll be able to say, I'm more present, I'm less irritable, and I'm able to engage meaningfully. But when you and I are unaware of our purpose and we're just flowing in our own plans, then we get overwhelmed and our bonds are weakened. Last but not least, W, wasted potential. Not knowing one's purpose can lead to a life that doesn't fully utilize or realize their unique gifts, talents, and potential. Man, one of the worst things that could ever happen in an individual's life is wasted potential. There's two things that is the worst things that could ever happen in one's life. Number one, three things. Number one, never knowing God. Number two, wasting potential. And number three, I just had and I forgot it. Not leaving an inheritance. Our lives was designed to know God, to flow with God. Our lives was to tap into our full potential. Our lives were designed for us to leave an inheritance. Those three things are the worst things that can come out of an individual's life. Not knowing one's purpose can lead to a life that doesn't fully utilize or realize their unique gifts, talents, and potential. Man, utilize and realize is key. If you don't realize, you can't utilize. Like, have you really taken the time to realize the value of your gifts, the value of your talent, the value of a potential? Like, what will happen to your children's children if you tap into 80% of your potential? I don't believe none of us going to tap into 100% of potential because we were flawed. But, bro, we can get into them high 70s. We can get into them high 80s. Some of us can get into those 90%. Of our potential. Like, what would your family, or how could your family benefit if you fulfilled your full potential? What would happen if you really begin to realize that God has gifted you for a purpose, or realize that your talents are treasure to others? When you begin to realize your potential, then when you realize that you're going to have to stand before God with real eyes to realize then how valuable he took it and how he didn't get a return from it, then that conversation is going to be awkward. So you might as well say, let me realize the value of these different gifts. Let me realize how God wants me to utilize these gifts and talents and my potential, so that it will enhance my story for his glory. Now let's talk about how wasted potential impacts our relationships. When we don't harness our unique gifts and talents due to a lack of purpose, harness, full grip, strong grip, it's not just us who suffer. Our relationships do too. Our loved ones miss out on experiencing the best version of us, and we miss out on the deep fulfillment that comes from contributing our best to those we care about. Those who love you want you to love them. They want you to go above so they can be able to enjoy greater love. Like, let me read it again. When we don't harness our unique gifts and talents due to a lack of purpose, it's not just us who suffer. Our relationship do too. Here we go. Our loved ones miss out on experiencing the best version of you. Listen, is your wife missing out on the best version of you? Is your husband missing out on the best version of you? Are your children missing out on the best version of you? Is God missing out on the best version of you? Are you missing out on the best version of you? Are the people you were supposed to serve missing out on the best version of you? That's why you gotta find and always endeavor to get better, because when you get better, people experience what you get better. The more we evolve, the more we tap into our potential, the more they tap into greater depths of love, especially in experiencing us. It also says, and we miss out on the deep fulfillment that comes from contributing our best. Listen, as a husband, I feel this. As a father, I feel this. There's no greater fulfillment than being able to see how me being a husband and how me being a father impacts my loved ones. So when you become your best self and everything grows in your life, then you can sow more from your life. And then when you sow more from your life, you will be sown back into. And you'll be like, that's why more, my legacy is big for me. Like I'm working hard on becoming the best version of myself so that I can be able to sit back one day or many days and look at my family, enjoy my purpose. From the book sales, from the coaching programs, for everything that I'm here to do. That when we go to the beach or when we go to different places, when like as I evolve, the more I can solve. Do you know that? The more you evolve, the more you can solve. The more you evolve as a person, the more you actually proactive in solving certain situations, the more proactive you can be to say, hey, I can ensure that my daughter doesn't end up like this. I can ensure that my wife's heart never ends up broken like this. I can ensure that my children's children will have what they need to fulfill their purpose without sweat or bleed. So when you're evolved, the more you can solve. And the more you can enjoy the fulfillment of what you see. So the four ways not knowing our purpose affects our lives and our relationships. Number one, we end up being knotted to the wrong things. We begin end up neglecting the right things. We begin to become overwhelmed and we end up wasting our potential. Now let's talk about how knowing our purpose real quickly enhances our relationships. We're talking relationship with God, relationship with self, relationship with family, relationship with others. Real quickly, and we're just about done. Knowing our purpose enhances our relationship with God. And I wrote this, knowing our purpose provides clarity and direction, strengthening our alignment with God's plans and enhancing our spiritual connection. My friend, the more you know your purpose, the more you know you need him. Because your purpose is revealed in stages. Your purpose is revealed in his pages. So when you know that the principles of purpose are in his pages, and when you understand that purpose revealed in stages, that you know God reveals it. He ain't gonna reveal your, like before I met my wife, I didn't know I was gonna be in the school systems. Then all of a sudden I went from doing unplugged to now doing helping out in schools. See, that purpose was revealed in stages, but the core purpose of me, helping people grow holistically for God's optimal use, the different purpose pieces in me, the gifts, the talents, traits are transferable. The place of purpose may change, but the pieces of purpose don't. We'll do a video on that, another one. But the more we get to know our purpose in God, it causes us to strengthen our alignment. Now we become in alignment how things were designed. I do this with my coaching programs all the time. We talk about these three words, design, align, assign. Before God assigns, he aligns to his designs. When we honor the designs of marriage, the designs of manhood, the designs of womanhood, the designs of entrepreneurship, the designs of business, the designs of parenting, and when we honor those designs and we align our lives to those designs, then God will bless what he has assigned to us to do. So it strengthens our alignment. We now become more like him, and now we're able to flow anointed. You don't want to just be appointed. You want to be anointed. Where God appoints that man or woman he anoints. Also, it enhances our spiritual connection. We need our spiritual connections enhanced. Relationship with self. Understanding our purpose empowers self-awareness and personal fulfillment, leading to greater self-acceptance and growth. So the more you know your purpose, the more you know how special you are. The more you know your purpose, the more you feel self-accepting. The more you know your purpose, the more self-loving you are. You see how that works with your relationship with yourself? The more you know, the more you will love, Number three, relationship with family with a clear sense of purpose. We can lead our families with intention, love, and wisdom, fostering deeper connection and unity. Do you know those three things foster connection? Especially for my men out there, husbands out there, and single men. Hear me when I say this. Your families want you to lead with intention. Every step you take is intentional. But you also got to lead your families with love and wisdom. So when you lead with intention and your steps make sense, and you lead with love and your love is felt, and you lead with wisdom and they know that they can follow you no matter where you go, it fosters deep connection and unity. See, my wife can attest to that. And I'm not bragging about me. This is God. I'm not saying I'm all there. What I am saying is this, that I've learned as a husband, I have to know God. I have to know what he wants me to do as the head of my house. And for the last five major decisions I had to make, when as time passed and my wife began to see the divine in it, the divine in the destination, the divine in the deliverance, And us leading a direction. My wife says, no matter what I say, she knows he hears from God. So when I say something, I don't say, God, tell me this all the time. I just know when he tells me something and I feel it here, that I know for a fact, this is where we're going. And time will prove that's where he wants us. But fellas, we have to stay there. We have to either get there or we have to stay there. Where we lead with intention, love, and wisdom, because then no matter what pops say, no matter what moms say, I know they're led by God. And your wife, but I know my man's led by God. Or when you know that you got a woman that's led by God, when she wakes up from her dream, she wakes up from, or she gets up from her prayer, or from her walk, or from her drive to work, whatever, and she gives you that ring and she says, I feel in my spirit. When you know she knows the Holy Spirit, then you be like, all right, babe, I can submit to that. I can sacrifice to the God in you. Let's keep going. Now, how to know what your purpose is now? Here we go. And I'm gonna show you the worksheet and then we're done. How to know your purpose now and how knowing it enhances the relationship. Number, and of course I did K-N-O-W. So good, we got some questions. We'll get to them shortly. K, know God deeply. In order to know your purpose and enhance your relationship, you must know God deeply. Don't just know God shallowly. Know God deeply. The first thing you got to do is enhance your prayer life, enhance your study of the word, enhance your familiarity with the Holy Spirit, your fellowship with now. Now, I don't care if you're already married. I don't care if you already have kids. You can turn it around. And no matter what was stolen, it can be redeemed. Know God deeply and keep an open heart and mind for introspection and self-reflection. Why is that important? Because the more you know God deeply, you can't help but know you deeply. So you got to keep an open heart with God and an open mind and allow the word of God to read you and show you, this is the reason why your relationship is sinking, son. This is why your relationship is sinking, daughter. This is why your kids are going left or in this way or that way. This is the reason why your marriage has been going in circles for the last 4 years. This is the reason why you're single still when I've predestined for you to be married by now. This is the reason why we're not close. Introspection and reflection keeps repentance up. It keeps a consecration up. It keeps a sanctification up. It keeps you to wanting to go deeper. I wrote here, knowing God deeply, understanding God's purpose for you can lead to a stronger spiritual foundation, improving your relationship with God and influencing your interaction with others. So when you know God deeply and understand God's purpose for you, you will build a strong spiritual foundation. Because if you and God, once you and God improve, all your relationships improve. And note down or write down, note down your passions, strengths, and values. Get a sheet of paper after you done tonight. You repented, you reflected, you responded. Then you get a pen or paper out or get your phone out on airplane mode and then go to your notes. Because put it on airplane mode to block all distractions. If you have to use a device, I believe going old school. get a paper and a pen. And what you do is, on a sheet of paper, you note down your passions, strengths, and values. I have a worksheet that's going to help you with that. Let's read how it impacts relationships. Noting down passions, strengths, and values. Recognizing your passions and strengths allows you to bring your authentic self into relationships, fostering deeper connections and mutual understanding. So when you begin to bring your, listen, that's part of my book, The Purpose of Relationship. I think I have it right here. It's in my book bag. It's the latest book, book number 11. I don't know if you can read it. The Purpose of Relationships. In this book, I talk about heavily authenticity. I have six pillars of relatability that ensures that all relationships sell. Number one is authenticity. Number two is respect. Number three is empathy. Number four is humility. Number five is effective communication. Number six is adaptability. So authenticity is huge. The reason why our relationships are out of alignment is because we're not authentic. That person married the fake you and not the real you. But when you allow God to redeem it, or if you're single or however you are, you can now bring your authentic self to a relationship, fostering deeper connection and mutual understanding. Don't hide who you really are. Oh, openly seek feedback from trusted friends, family and mentors. Seek feedback. Openly seek feedback. Because a lot of people who are trusted people, they see what you don't see. They're not blinded how the devil blinded you. Demons blind us from the eyes because they know when you tap into your purpose, you become dangerous. But trusted family, trusted friends, trusted mentors have been watching you and they're going to tell you, yeah, I noticed that about you. Let's read how it enhances our relationships. Seeking feedback promotes self-awareness and growth. Understanding how others perceive you can help you adjust and improve the interaction, strengthen your relationship. So you'll be able to say, okay, I didn't know you saw that in me. Positively or negatively. Okay, let me make the adjustment. Let me improve. Let me borrow your belief. When I coach and counsel people and I begin to spot things in them, you know what I tell them? Borrow my belief. I believe in you. You watching me right now, I believe in you. If God can use me like he's using me, my friend, he can use you at the capacity he's designed to use you. W. Work on aligning your skills and talents with what brings you fulfillment and joy. Work on aligning your skills. So now when you know what brings you fulfillment and joy, like what brings me fulfillment and joy is these three things. You've heard me say this maybe in one other video. God being glorified, my family being fortified, demons being horrified. That's what brings me fulfillment and joy. God being glorified, man. Oh, man. Through my gifts and talents, man. So I align to that joy and fulfillment. My family being fortified. Oh, man. That brings me joy and fulfillment. Demons being horrified. One bringing 1,000. Two bringing 10,000. And seeing people delivered. Oh, man. Brings me joy and fulfillment. This is how to help enhance your relationship. When you align your skills and talents with your purpose, you become more fulfilled and joyful. This positive energy and fulfillment can enhance relationship as you bring your best self to interact. So when you're pursuing what you love to do, what you were sent from above to do, and you begin to leave a residue and you begin to see it grow and be a blessing, my friend, you can't help but be lighter and brighter and a stronger fighter. So let's get to our worksheet so I can get to answer some questions. Oh, that's too small. All right, so here's our worksheet. Let me see if I can do this. No, there we go. You can get this worksheet for free on my website, mycoachjosh.com/worksheets. Let me post in the link for you to make it easy for you to get to it. My goal is to provide you guys with applicable opportunities to apply what has been shared. So let me go ahead and pull up. Here's the worksheet. Discovering your purpose to enhance relationships. Step one, know God deeply. Reflect the relationship with God. How often do you spend time in prayer and meditation? What scriptures or teachings resonate with you most? Introspection, self-reflection. What qualities or values do you believe God has instilled in you? How do these qualities guide your action decisions? Now, don't get me wrong. Well, let me make sure I make this clear. I'm sorry. These worksheets are not meant for you to do in one night. Sometimes God may just want you to listen to videos over and over again for your mind to be renewed, and maybe he'll block off a couple of weeks for you to go through a worksheet. So don't feel like you have to go through all these steps. These are just things that you can chew on as long as you need to. Step two, note down your passion, strength, and values. List activities or causes that excite and energize you. Identify your top skills and talents. What comes naturally to you? That's your strengths. Values, what principles or beliefs are non-negotiable in your life? Step three, seek feedback. Reach out to trusted friends, family members, mentors, and spiritual leaders. Ask them, what strengths or qualities do they see in you? How do they perceive your passions aligned with your purpose? Work on your alignment. Review your list of passions, strengths, and values. How can you incorporate these into your daily life? Aligning skills with fulfillment. Identify ways to use your talents and areas that bring you joy and fulfillment. Also, this is how you apply to your relationships. How does your purpose strengthen your relationship with God? How does understanding your purpose impact your self-image and self-worth? How can your purpose enrich your relationship with your spouse if this applies to you? Children, etc., others, etc. Based on your insights from the worksheet, create a short action plan. List three actions you could take to align more closely with your purpose. Identify one relationship you will focus on improving using your newfound clarity of purpose. And of course, there's some accountability. Set a date to review your progress on your action plan. Share your insights and progress with a trusted friend or mentor for accountability and support. So this worksheet is available now on my website, mycoachjosh.com/worksheet. Also, what has been released, I showed you a little bit of it. My latest book, book number 11, has been released, The Purpose of Relationships, a comprehensive guide for all of your connections, helping you become more relatable to ensure all of your relationships thrive. We're talking relationship with God, relationship with self, relationship with significant, with the spouse, relationship with children, if those things are applicable to you. Also comes with it, not come with work, but so separate, but there's a workbook as well as a coaching program called Relationship Mastery. If you are an individual that says, hey, coach, I need help in my relationship. I want to master my relatability. I want to connect deeper. I'm noticing that my relationships are being strained. I notice that I may not fully understand my husband, fully understand my wife, and I need tools and support and to get this situation at an optimum level quicker. Make sure you check out Relationship Mastery on my website, mycoachjosh.com, as well as we also have a card game called Relate. It's a fun, interactive card game for you to play with your spouse, to play with your boo. If you know y'all thinking about getting married, playing with friends, playing with family, this game will help you better relate before it's too late. Also, get this book as well, Multi-Purpose. How to Find and Fulfill Your Purpose in Life. This book, these two books, Multi-Purpose and The Purpose Relationship, are going to be the two books I'm going to focus on for a long period of time. So get these two resources. It'd be a blessing to you. Also, check out those who really want to experience elite fulfillment. And my entrepreneurs and high performers, if you're like, hey, coach, I need more help so I can have a holistic success. And I want my marriage to be more successful than my business. You know what I'm saying? I want my family to be as successful or more successful than my endeavors. Then check out Fulfillment Elite. Now, let's answer some questions. What's going on, fam? Here, like, Eric. Good to see you, family. JoJo Davis says, what's up, Coach Josh? It's JoJo out of Fort Worth, Texas. How do I find patience with finding a job and believing he will supply my needs? Right now, my friend, you are in the middle of the answer to your prayer. God is letting patience have its perfect work on you. The Bible says in James 1:2-3, it says, count it all joy, my brothers. Let's stop there. Have you counted this season without a job joy? I told the church this morning, I said, have you ever seen a one-sided piece of paper? Have you ever seen a one-sided piece of bread? Have you ever seen a one-sided coin? None of us ever seen a one-sided piece of paper, one-sided piece of bread, one-sided coin. Why? Because those things cannot exist. And just like those things cannot exist, a one-sided situation cannot exist. And so if you look at the situation and you're not counting it joy, but you're counting it frustrating, you're counting it anxiously and not joyfully, then you're not going to be able to unlock what this season is doing into you. I remember when I was probably your age or younger and I didn't have a job. And I was like, God, this is when I was 21, 22, 23 in my mom's living room. And I couldn't find a job. And I was wondering, like, man, why is nothing open up for me? You know what God did? He said, I wanted you to see what God did in that season. He had me spend 4 to 5 months with him, with this Bible right here. When I couldn't find this, I couldn't find a job back in 2000. And see how this Bible look? This Bible been with me since 2000 and... June 27th, 2009. I used to live about a mile or two from Walmart and Barnes & Noble. And I couldn't find a job, but God said, go to Barnes & Noble. And I purchased this Bible. And I would be up 4:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning in my Bible. And when the sun rose just a little bit, like the blue of the dark blue of the morning, I would go for long walks and I would see a deer over here. And when I passed by the creek, I'll see the turtles and the animals and the birds. And if I had a job, I wouldn't have established that foundation with him. Sometimes God gives you a lie before he gives you a job. He said, I'm trying to lob an opportunity for you to spend time with me. So if you count your situation as frustrating or counting it with worry or anxiety, you're going to miss out on why God doesn't have a job for you. Then the Bible says, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. Right now, you're going through a trial right now. Paul said, I knew how to be abased and I knew how to be abound. He said, I knew how to be poor. I knew how to be prosperous. I knew how to be low. I knew how to be high. We don't know what the world's going to be a year from now. You have to know what it's like not to have a job if everybody has no job. You have to know what it feels like to have nothing, because when you have nothing, that's we'll see what you're made of. Right now, you're being exposed as far as your relationship with God in its validity. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be frustrating points in relationship with God. So I'm not sitting there saying that you hate God or you're mad at God. But as you're going through this, examine yourself. Because now you're really seeing that you might not really believe him. Like, how can belief and faith develop if there's no resistance? How can we really truly believe God if we have nothing but our belief left? If God supplied everything and took care of everything, then our faith and belief won't develop. So sometimes God takes things out of our lives to test our faith, because he knows a faith that hasn't been tested, a faith that can't be trusted. And so he puts us in circumstances or situations, or allows the circumstances and situation he puts us in to develop belief, faith, and trust in him. And you got to let patience have its perfect work. Right now, if you can't be patient as a single man with no job, then you're not going to be able to cultivate a patience needed for a marriage. So I want you to take some time to study James 1, 2 through 3, and just study that, my brother. And I hope this answer helped you. So embrace this season. Don't be too quick to erase this season. Nubian Soul Child says, good afternoon. Do you think it's wrong for a woman to want to marry a man who makes more money than her, or is her equal when it comes to finance? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But you have to look at the flip side. Let me ask you a question like this first. I'm going to give you the flip side. There's nothing wrong, because a woman naturally wants to be provided for. The one person in a marriage that should have options is the wife, because she's the one that's going to bear the children. Right now, my wife has an option. I created a situation for her where when she got pregnant with Hannah, she said with what she had to go through, she was like, I don't think I can work right now. And as a man, I said, you have that option. Because you went through what you went through, bore a whole human being. If you don't want to work, don't work. I'll do three jobs if I have to. Because I got to make sure, because I know this temporary. I don't work through two or three jobs. No, but I'm saying, like, early on, I was like, hey, I got to do what I got to do. If I have to do what I got to do, I'm going to do what I got to do, because I know it's temporary, because I'm going to make the money. Money ain't the problem. But I had to make sure she had an option, because because there's something about the woman that needs that option, because there's different, there's specific things I've noticed in God's original design of a woman and a wife, that is that there's something installed in a woman that desires to be with their children in the early stages. And so the man has to be able to provide in case the woman says, I don't want to work no more. That's why I believe that the man's money should be able to handle, even if the woman makes more than him, but the man's money should be able to take care of all expenses. And what I mean by expense, I'm talking about like lease, mortgage, rent, car payments, lights, all that kind of stuff. So that if the woman wants to be home for a while, or her body requires her to do so, or God wants her to be, then the family can keep going. So nothing wrong with desiring that, because I believe that's innate in a woman. So that's the answer to that question. But there are some women that make more than men. But even though a woman makes more than a man, the woman still has to follow the order of God. And the man has to be a good steward of finances. So if a woman makes more than a man, there still needs to be a God's order of the man still the head. And it won't be no manipulation or I make more money than you and you trying to usurp God's original design of the man leading the home. That's if you have a solid man. Now, don't be giving your money to a man. You married a man, he bad with money. Then y'all got a little something on your hands there. But if you got a good, solid biblical man and his career has a cap, and where he is has a cap, and you make more money than him, then y'all have those conversations. But make sure you don't usurp God's original design for the household. Carrie John says, I'm supposed to have a deliverance ministry, but I love helping those who are less fortunate. Is that the same thing just about, or am I choosing the wrong road? Great question. Deliverance ministry is one of those ministries that take years to develop for, because a lot of people have zeal for deliverance, but they don't have the awareness of deliverance. They don't have the proactive warfare tactics for deliverance. But deliverance don't have to always be, you know, come to the altar and put oil on forehead and deliver people. Sometimes you can deliver people from a poverty mindset. Like you can deliver people from a poor way of thinking, whether it's in their health, whether it's in their relationships, whatever. Right now, I have delivered people in this video. All of my videos have to some degree delivered people. So deliverance ministry doesn't always mean deliverance ministry as in casting out devils, right? But it could be in delivering people from a poor mentality, delivering people from habits and addictions by making them more aware of God's love, etc. So I don't think you're going on a different road, because maybe God is diversifying the way he wants you to deliver your ministry, your deliverance ministry. Because maybe your deliverance ministry does provide, because I've delivered people before. I've cast out demons a great many times. But that's not a public ministry. I don't think that's wise. You know, that you just come and you show up, because man, demons are complicated, they're complex. And so if you deliver people and you don't disciple people, see, the true holistic deliverance ministry requires discipleship. The Bible talks about when a person has been delivered, the devil goes away, and then after a while it comes back. And if that house has been swept but hasn't been made full, it will go get seven times demons greater than it, and that person's end state will be worse than their former state. What does that mean? So you can deliver a person and then you move on. You can deliver a person and then move on about your life. Their house has been swept, but you didn't fill them with the furniture. You didn't fill them with a understanding of God and understanding of the Holy Ghost and how to protect themselves going forward. So we're quick to heal because we have zeal, but man, we don't know. We don't always have what it costs to pay the bill. And then all of a sudden now we're putting people in a bad predicament with seven demons greater. So I don't think you choose the wrong role. Both of those things go together. Hope that helps. Nubia says she's taking notes. True, God changes plans. That's right. We may never know what he wants for our life to some degree. But you get the good thing is we may never know because we didn't want to know. God wants to make things known to us. We just don't want to know it because then it requires us to submit to his lordship. A lot of Christians are simply okay with Jesus being their savior. They don't want you to be their Lord. They have this mentality that all I want Jesus to be is my savior. Just save me. And then when I fall, save me. When I mess up, save me. We don't want to be submitted to his lordship. Vince says, is it wrong to only want to marry a virgin? It wouldn't sit well in my spirit if my future spouse has a wedding. Well, first you have to check your heart. Nothing wrong with that first sentence. There's nothing wrong with wanting to marry a virgin. But you have to make sure that your heart is right. If it's a preference, if that's something that you want and that's what you feel like God's going to bring your way, great. But don't look at the non-virgins a specific way. I'm not saying you are, but I just want to make sure that is said. It wouldn't sit well in my spirit if my future spouse hasn't waited. Why wouldn't it sit well? Just in case, or if God's best is not a virgin. You have to make sure that your heart's right no matter what, so that you won't puff yourself up as better because you've waited, or when your marriage comes together and you want to start like a little marital thing, that you guys don't have this aura about you that idolizes virginity. There's a lot of people that idolize purity, idolize virginity, because it makes them feel different. It makes them feel validated for all the jokes they got. Nah, being a virgin is just good. God's grace is what sufficiently got you through. But make sure that your heart is clean to those who are not, so that you don't carry yourself or carry your marriage as if y'all better than those who didn't. Hope that gave you some wisdom. What's going on, Jayla? LV says, hello, coach. What are your thoughts on life as a man? God displayed countless stories of biblical characters, men, being tested to prove they are God-fearing. Should I ask for more experience to test? Well, I don't necessarily think that that's wise to ask for more experience to test. You just got to make sure that you pass your current experience or test, right? But let me go to the front part. What are your thoughts on life as a man? Being a man is amazing. Once you understand the fundamental elements of what is required of a man, what is required of a husband, what is required of a father, and you begin to see the heart of the father, and you begin to see the beauty of what you can establish with the family and the legacy that you create, inheritance that you can create. Oh, man, being a man is amazing. Being a man of God is the greatest thing, because I get to walk with him. I get to talk with him. I get to chalk things up with him. I get to put chalk on the board and run plays with him. That's beautiful. And then as you maturate and mature, and you start entering the different levels and depths of manhood, into fatherhood, into husbandhood, into all these different things, man, it's a great experience. But what I want you to do is just simply embrace, because sometimes as men, we can get zealous and we want to be like, God, give me all the experience and tests right now so that I can be able to experience what the greats did in the Bible or what the greats are doing around me. Not just enjoy experiencing God and let the tests come when they come. Because my friend, if you can't pass this test, then you're not going to pass the next test. So don't ask for more experience to test. Just experience God, enjoy him. And the more you get to know him, then the more he'll slowly bring you into experiencing him more, because there's parts of him that we're not mature enough yet to experience. Some of us, some areas, there's some areas of God that he's like, I got to hold a part of me back from you. I got to hold a part of me back from you, because if I really revealed all of this to you, you won't be able to handle it. You actually will start hating me. If I really reveal that I chasten those whom I love, if I begin to reveal all these different things, man, he says, I reveal myself in doses. And the tests will come when they come. Just make sure you study, because every test is an open book test. Every test that God has allowed you and graced you to read the Bible with it. Jody Summer says, please pray for me. Pornography has had a hold on me for the last 20 plus years. I have stopped for weeks, but I always come back. I need help. Great question. Oh, well, we'll pray for you, but let me help you. The reason why pornography keeps coming back is because you dealt with the fruit, but you didn't deal with the root. If you don't deal with the root issue, whether it's unworthiness, whether it's insecurities, whether it's external validation, whether it's the fear of failure, whether it's a rejection or embarrassment or resentment or unforgiveness or someone that you have yet to forgive, if you don't deal with the root issue, the fruit issue will always sprout up. You could cut a branch off, the branch will grow back. You could pluck the fruit off in the next few weeks, that fruit will grow, a fruit will start budding in that area where you plucked it, right? So now you got to find the root issue of why pornography is your hope. Not your hope, but pornography is your dope. Somewhere you lost your hope, now pornography has become your dope. When your hope is in something else other than God, then you will go to something else to dope. So what's your hope? What is something that God has done that you feel like he's forgotten about you about? What is something that you experienced that you're like, I hoped I would have been a millionaire by now. If only if I had this and I would have no, because if your hope is not in God, if your hope is not in him, then my friend, you will always go to pornography for dope. That's why I went to pornography back in the day. Went to pornography because my hope was to be successful. And when I was successful when I wanted to, then I had anxiety. And I used to make excuses for pornography. I was like, oh, I ain't sleeping with nobody. I begin to say pornography is not as bad as fornication. So at least when I get my little private sin, hide my sin, that sin is greater than, not as bad as their sin. Then I started validating this as a doping mechanism to make me not be stressed, not me be anxious, or to make myself, because I was waiting until marriage to get me up the road. But when my hope became God, I didn't need that dope no more. So when your hope is not in God and is in success or is in marriage or is in whatever it is that you think validates you or will make your life better, then my friend, pornography is gonna sprout right back up and it will be dope to you. So right there, my friend, on the sheet of paper, I want you to write down, what has your hope? The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred means that you hoped this thing was going to help you. You got to the point the way you wanted it to help you. It proved that it couldn't help you. Then it extended the goalpost. You heard that phrase, extending the goalpost? So when you get to it, it's like, nah, we're going to go back 50 more yards. And you get there, 50 more yards. You get there, 50 more yards. After a while, you're going to be sick and tired. We get sick when we put our hope in things that's not stuck in the ground, but keeps moving itself. God is immovable. He says, I'm always there. I'm not going nowhere. And when our hope is in God, we'll always be solid and not shaking. Let me pray for you, Jody. Father, we thank you so much for my brother, Lord. For him to write this question and for it to be public, Lord, you know his heart desires it. Maybe he just wasn't aware of the right route to go for it. But Lord, reveal to him the root reason of why he is here and the real root reason of why he has this fruit issue. So he'll begin to start repenting and start renewing his mind and start forgiving and start hoping in you. So he'll never have to go to this dope again, because he knows that this thing don't satisfy. That this thing is actually going to terrorize his marriage one day and terrorize his life. So God, let him see the sin for what it really is and his destructive traits that is designed to ruin his life. Lord, we think about this through your Holy Spirit right now, that you will remove all condemnation, guilt, and shame for anyone, including him, that's listening to my voice, who needs this as well. That they'll find that you are not judging them, that you judged your son, so you won't have to judge them in this regard, that they can come to you boldly in right standing to say, Abba, I need your help. And Lord, I think that however I answer will begin to provide them the practical ways, the strategies to be able to deal with those root issues. And we thank the Lord for it being so. Right now, I come against every demonic spirit that's warring against Jody or anyone else under the sound of my voice. First off, I safeguard my family and my life from any retaliation for operating in this warfare. With that being said, I command a loose Jody now in the name of Jesus. He will be freed from this. His mind will not be cluttered. And before we know it, he would no longer desire the taste. Right now, I ask the taste to be removed out of him. So every time he even thinks about it, it don't even satisfy. It don't even intrigue him anymore. Father, I turn our attention back to you. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's some practical ways you can do it, my friend. Number one, Find the root issue. You already know it to some degree. If you don't know it, God will show it. I want you to write down all the people that you have a hard time forgiving. Number two, I want you to write down everything that you have your hope in and how it has been deferred and how this is used. I want you to find, after you do that on a sheet of paper, I want you to write down, how will this sin destroy me and my future legacy and family? Write that down. Number three, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you an accountability partner. Number four, be gracious to yourself. I'm not expecting you to be done with the pornography tonight. It's possible. But if we're realistic, I don't know how deep the wound is. I don't know how long the healing will have to take. So you're probably going to fall again. We're just going to keep it a band. If you don't, great. If you do, we're not judging you, right? But what you got to do is you got to extend grace to yourself. And when you do fall into pornography, masturbation, I want you to begin to assess the route that you got there. Because when you fall, there's intel. You'll begin to say, okay, Fridays or Thursdays, I usually find myself feeling this way. Okay, let me adjust my schedule, or let me I told one guy to downgrade to a flip phone. I said, if pornography that bad, get you a Nokia. Get you a flip phone that you know what I mean? Get you something that is hard, man. You know what I'm saying? To get on that screen. Put your laptop in the car if you have to. Like there's ways to do it. So I hope those practical ways helped you, fam. Also, find alternative ways, man. Like, for instance, when I was going through that, especially as a single man, bro, I got a 24-hour membership. I used to run out of my house, fam. Get in that car and just lift heavy. Or I went to Walmart, which opened 24 hours, and just started walking the hallways. I had to get up out of my house. Certain things you got to do, fam. Yes, those apps too. Covenant Eyes, and I think I heard it said the captive's free. Covenant Eyes is a good app, family. I got to get up out of here, man. I've been going. I didn't realize I was going for an hour and 6 minutes. Jayla says, hey, coach, that advice you gave me on praying about that new job opportunity worked. I got the job. Oh, and it's a God-centered job and everything I need to grow. I need to get out of my secular state. God is faithful. He moves mountains. He opens doors. I'm so happy for you, Jayla. Thank you for sharing that testimony with me. Prayer works, and God gets the glory. God gets glory. Tiffany, thank you. Hey, Lucy. All right, two more, and I got to go. Valencia Ashton says, how do I know if I'm being hypocritical of a person versus having standards? Great question. Your heart reveals everything. Hypocrite is someone who is hypercritical. Oh, that's hypercritical. Okay, not hypocrite. Okay. I got to look at the word. I thought it was hypocritical. Let me read it again. How do I know I'm being hypercritical of a person versus having standards? When you focus on the person more than you do the standards, you're hypercritical. Your standards are the standards. So if you're looking at a person and you feel a little bit of you feel a little bit of too much attention on that person, then you will be able to see that you're hypercritical. Having standards is I communicated my standards and I moved on. If you meet those standards, cool, we can have a conversation. If you don't, I'm moving on. But some people can try to manipulate you and make you feel like you're hypercritical of them, but you should never entertain people who have less standards than you. Then you won't even create an opportunity for you to be hypercritical. So if your mind is always criticizing or being critical of a person versus just moving on about your life, then that shows that you struggle with that in a particular area. But if a person's below you, please listen to me. Don't entertain people who is trying to partner with you in any kind of way, friendship, relationship, partnership, etc., whose standards are below yours. It saves you this heartache. Hope this helps. Vincent says, thanks, Josh. It's just a preference. I just wouldn't like the idea of my woman being with someone else. Nothing wrong with that. I understand that. And that there is a mental freedom that comes in. You don't have to worry about comparison. I think it's a comparison on her part. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to get past it. I wouldn't want to make it through. Yeah, if that's the case, fam, that's fine. If it's a preference, it's a preference. I had that preference. And God blessed me with that. With that, with my wife being that. And so, but at the end of the day, I just want to make sure your heart was right. So if it's just a preference, nothing wrong with that. But if I was just making sure that you were safeguarded heart-wise. Star Bright says, thank you, coach, for your wisdom teaching. God gives the glory. Pastor V says, hey, coach, can you have the Holy Spirit in the heart and heart? I think I said this the other time. Yeah, I mean, your heart can, because situations happen. Now you can't, there's so many situations where this is possible. So it's not a one size fits all, but yeah, it is possible to have the Holy Spirit in the heart. But if you have the Holy Spirit, because you can grieve the Holy Spirit. So yeah, it's possible. I just leave it at that. Let it trail, my last one. Why do we as prophetic people attract all types of people? Because people need a word. Prophetic people are seers, and people want to know what's seen down the road. And my gift attracts a lot of people. I don't want to go that deep of what office I operate in, but sometimes I can operate in the prophetic. And sometimes in that, when people get a glimpse of that, I always remind them that I'm not a prophet. I just operate in the gift of prophecy at times. But people are drawn to you because people are just drawn to supernatural things, part one. Two, some people are drawn because they really desire to know God's heart and will. Some people are drawn with that number two, but with a selfish intent. And so they're just attracted because that gift is just, and sometimes they're attracted to you demonically because the demons want to wear that gift out to weaken your resolve and cause your prophetic ability not to be keen and sharp. So be mindful of that as well. Jayla says, it does. He gets all the glory. I'm so happy for you, Jayla. Thank you for sharing. Love you all. I gotta go. Pray this video was a blessing to you. Hope you got something out of it. I'll catch y'all next time. Books, card games, coaching programs, all that stuff. Ways to support all that, for our mentoring programs, all that stuff on my website, mycoachjosh.com. I'll go ahead and post that link right now. We appreciate the generosity and your support in advance. Love y'all. Y'all be blessed. Make sure you like, comment, and share. Get this video out there because I believe the Lord spoke through me, and I believe it'd be a blessing to others. Love y'all. I'll catch y'all next time. Peace.